In a huge blow to Imran Khan, the former Pakistan Prime Minister, and his Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf party, Mr. Khan has been sentenced to 10 years in prison just 2 weeks before the country goes to polls in an election his party has effectively been hamstrung from contesting. Imran Khan, who's been in jail since his earlier arrest in August, faces multiple court cases which have made his return to office almost impossible. The same 10-year sentence was handed down to Shah Mahmood Qureshi, the vice president of the Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf and the former foreign minister of Pakistan. The case against the two leaders is linked to allegations that they leaked classified state documents. Remember, Imran Khan had been ousted in 2022 in a no-confidence motion, but retains massive support across the country. Well, joining us at this stage, Hussain Haqqani, the former Pakistani ambassador to the United States. He's an author and director of at the Hudson Institute. Thanks very much, sir, for being with us. Now, we've seen massive protests, Mr. Haqqani, in Pakistan when Imran was arrested earlier on. Army facilities, Air Force facilities, for example, were attacked. Now, he's openly defied the army in the past, the military institution, as it were. Are we likely to see similar protests now?
I'm not going to make any predictions about the size of protests. The fact remains that after May 9, the PTI could not sustain the protests. I think that we must remember Pakistan's history. Other Pakistani leaders at the height of their popularity have similarly been arrested and subjected to sentencing under one law or another. Zulfiqar Ali Bhutto, the most popular leader of his time, was executed. Yes. So in the end, it comes down to two things. Does the political party have enough strength and resilience in its rank and file to survive the few years of repression? Or does the establishment in Pakistan have the strength to keep it repressed and suppressed? So far, the establishment has almost always won. There are always news stories. When the events of May 9 happened, everybody thought, big thing, for the first time the army establishments are being attacked. Later on, Imran Khan realized that that was a huge mistake. Yes. Because if anything, it actually increased the military's resolve to make sure that something like that didn't happen. And his party has really been truly suppressed only after that.
Mr. Haqqani, the Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf itself has been stripped of its election symbol. You know, the possibility of them being a viable political force in the foreseeable future seems difficult. Ultimately, is this a victory for the Pakistani military? And in that sense, is this a battle that the Pakistani military has once again won against legitimate political forces in Pakistan?
First of all, we must remember that PTI itself was a huge beneficiary of the then military leadership support. The military leadership encouraged various political factions and individuals, including Mr. Shah Mahmood Qureshi, whom you named, to join the PTI. They were all people in other political parties. The party was cobbled together. Imran Khan's charisma was considered the glue that will hold everything together. I think that the PTI is being given a bad deal. It is unfair. But the fact of the matter is that it is no different from how Nawaz Sharif's party was treated in the last election and the Pakistan People's Party was treated in 2013. So it's a process in Pakistan. And so far, the military has been the dominant institution in Pakistan. We must also remember that from the military's point of view, that is necessary to keep Pakistan together because the politicians simply can't agree between themselves. Now, if Mr. Imran Khan, after being ousted in a parliamentary vote of no confidence, had come back into parliament as the leader of opposition and just waited for an election, maybe none of this would have happened. But he chose to spin a conspiracy theory about an American-backed conspiracy to throw him out of power, delegitimated the parliamentary process, and therefore has come to this pass. So while we can blame the military for having intervened in politics for many, many years, it's also time to start looking at the politicians and their inability to compromise that enables the military to take advantage of the situation.
But sir, isn't it also true that after parliament in Pakistan is dissolved, elections mandatorily need to be held within a period of 5 months? Whereas over here, that's, you know, it's clearly been delayed. And therefore, The argument is that this was part of a conspiracy to deny Imran Khan if elections had, for example, taken place several months earlier on, then this scenario wouldn't have been there for Imran.
Well, that's hypothetical. The elections would still not have been held just after Imran Khan was ousted from office. It would still have been several months, almost a year later. The elections have been delayed by about 6 months. But the fact of the matter remains that Imran Khan contributed to his own problems by thinking that because he had so much support among military families, among retired military officers, and he was the favorite of the military in the past, the military will come back and talk to him. He would have been better off talking to the other politicians whom he has historically always called crooks and traitors. So he has created the situation. He is now facing an injustice. Question is, does his political party have the resilience to face it like other two political parties have done in the past, or will the party fizzle away? People say that Pakistan has dynastic politics, but the dynastic politics also had a positive side. When Zulfikar Ali Bhutto was executed, his daughter took up the mantle. People rallied to her. When Nawaz Sharif went to prison, his daughter came out and his brother came and became the party leader. Here, Imran Khan doesn't have an immediate relative who could fill his shoes. Will the party fall apart, get divided into many, many factions, or will the party rally together, stay together? If that happens, it may actually be a good thing for Pakistan's politics long term, for Pakistan to have a political party that weathers the storm, survives, and fights another day. But if none of that happens, we will continue to see the cycle Pakistan has seen for many, many years, unfortunately.
Mr. Haqqani, the fact of the matter is that in as much as Imran Khan may have sought and gained the support of the military earlier on, he emerged as the strongest anti-military voice possibly in Pakistan's history. That in a sense was the basis of the support which he enjoyed as somebody who stood up against the military. In that sense, is there a real concern that that voice in Pakistan that stands up to a non-democratic force, which is what the military is by definition, is gone?
I don't think so. I think that the other political parties are also. There are political parties that have been in the arena for 30, 40, 50 years and have taken a more balanced view, but been very critical of the military's political intervention. I think Imran Khan is essentially was sort of more confrontational. I know he's much more attractive to the news media, especially in countries that have a track record of playing cricket. He is a celebrity. But his manner of opposition actually played into the military's hands, because the last thing you want to give somebody who wants to repress you are grounds to repress you further. I think he was betting on getting those elements with the military, within the military, who support his hardline position on many things. He has taken a harsher stand on India. He has taken a harsh stand in support of the Taliban. He is very anti-American. He plays to the Pakistani Islamo-nationalist sentiment. And there is an element within the military that has those views. So he was hoping that they will bail him out. They haven't been able to do so so far. Let us see what happens in the future.
Mr. Haqqani, Nawaz Sharif, on the other hand, who is, of course, back in Pakistan, seems to be the pick of the army. As I understand it, multiple cases against him have seemingly disappeared in the court. So is he the favored one as far as the Pakistani army is concerned?
I would say that Nawaz Sharif was the one who was actually at the receiving end of the repression of General Musharraf. He was at the receiving end of the injustice that was meted out to him in 2017. Look, he was summarily thrown out of office without a criminal case and by a direct Supreme Court judgment, and then convicted to 10 years similar to Imran Khan. So I think that those people who just look at the news of the last 1 week see these developments very differently than those of us who see these as a continuum of 70 years of politics. And I think Nawaz Sharif, on the one hand, represents a different perspective than Imran Khan. And the army's willingness to work with Nawaz Sharif at the moment is only because of their fear of Imran Khan. I think Nawaz Sharif and the military will have their own differences of opinion down the road, because Nawaz Sharif does have certain strong positions. He wants the economy to be more open. He wants better relations with neighboring countries, including India. He wants to open trade with India. Will all of that sit well with the current military leadership? Again, another thing that we will only have to wait to find out.
So therefore, you won't venture a guess on whether Imran Khan is essentially a spent force in Pakistani politics?
No one is ever a spent force if they have real support. Benazir Bhutto didn't disappear. Nawaz Sharif didn't disappear. Imran Khan won't disappear. The long-term prognosis that I have for Pakistan is that Pakistan's politicians need to learn to work together. If they don't learn to work together, they will continue to be used one against the other.
A final question, since you know we do have you on, and it's wonderful to be interviewing you. What does all of this actually mean potentially for India and Pakistan going forward? Do you see a military, which is obviously now the dominant force in Pakistan once again, it always was, more willing to actually bring about a genuine lasting peace between the two countries?
I have no way of ascertaining that. But the fact remains that the outgoing army chief, General Bajwa, did make statements to the effect and said, made private statements as well, that he really thought that Pakistan and India need to have several years of just putting behind their differences, trading with one another, becoming more normal in their relations. I'm not privy to the views of General Asim Munir. He has recently stated that he thinks that Pakistan and India cannot be friends. We will find the answer to that, but there is a strong sentiment in Pakistan that Pakistan needs to change its attitude towards its neighbors, if for no other reason, just to consolidate its economy. And Nawaz Sharif has certainly expressed that view, as has Asif Zardari at different times. So we will see, except Imran Khan, who has taken a hard line on India and more as he became more and more populist. I think that almost all major political figures and elements in the military would like some modus vivendi to be reached. Will it happen? I'm not too sure, because it takes two hands to clap. While there is this development in Pakistan, we have to wait to see what develops in India. India's leadership has also had a very strong stand in recent years that until and unless Pakistan acts completely against all those groups that have acted against India out of Pakistan, there will be no further talks. So we will see where this leads us.
Mr. Haqqani, wonderful speaking to you. Thank you so much for sparing some time. Thank you very much indeed. We're now joined by Abdul Samad, spokesperson of the Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf. We're also joined by Ishan Ahmed Khan, spokesperson of the PMLN. Meher Tarar, the Pakistani writer, joins us, as does Ambassador Prabhu Dayal, who tracks Pakistan very closely. Mr. Abdul Samad, let me come to you first. How would you respond to those who say that with Imran Khan in jail for 10 years, the Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf without a political symbol, that your party for now is essentially over?
Well, first of all, the party is not over yet. I mean, the party has actually started from now and onwards. The 10-year sentence has two aspects. I mean, there is a political aspect of this case, and then there is a legal aspect of the case. The legal aspect and the implications of the case is simple. I mean, such an unlawful manner, the judicial proceedings were carried out with the huge irregularities that the judge was, the special court judge was in so hurry and rush to conclude the case. In a manner, the cipher case is concluded. I mean, when it will go to before the appellate courts, it will no longer than 10 days stands in the appellate courts. I mean, that will be immediately set aside. The political implication is simple. I mean, this case, this decision was carried out on the behest of some hidden forces. I mean, it inadvertently helped Imran Khan in upcoming elections, that the outrageous voter, the anger which will be shown by the voter of the supporter of the Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf.
What do you expect the voter to do, sir, with your party not even having an election symbol? You expect people not to vote? Is that what you're suggesting?
No. The outrageous voter will come out in a large number, and they are definitely going to vote in the favor of Imran Khan. Those candidates who are contesting in independent capacity.
Sure. Meher Tarar, would you like to come in at this stage?
Yeah.
Do you actually see this? I know it's somewhat speculative, so forgive me, but do you see or foresee a situation like what we saw earlier on when the first arrest against Imran Khan was announced, when there were nationwide protests all over Pakistan, unprecedented in your country's history?
Hi, thank you for having me on your show. But the thing is, whatever happened after May 9 did take place mostly was for this reason. They didn't want people to react to anything they were going to do to Imran Khan in the future. It's not that everything was exaggerated, what happened, how it happened. Innocent people are still rotting in jail. I know a 21-year-old who was simply a spectator, who was simply a peaceful protester and was jailed for 6 months because his father was a PTI official, was head of PTI in some district. So everybody has a story. What that has done is that people who were on the fence, who didn't vote for Imran Khan, who didn't even like Imran Khan, now support Imran Khan. I see that on social media. I see that in reality. I've seen many people change their political sensibilities after what has happened to PTI, Imran Khan, and PTI supporters in the last few years. People like me, I'm in my 50s. I was a child when Bhutto was arrested and then hanged. And then what happened to Benazir, Nawaz Sharif, Yusuf Raza Gilani, and Nawaz Sharif again. People like us, we've always condemned what happened to all these people. And what Mr. Haqqani was saying, I agree with him in principle, but At the end, what he was saying was that it's Imran Khan who's to be blamed for what has happened to him. That's not the way to look at this situation. If I were Imran Khan, I wouldn't have left the National Assembly. I wouldn't have dissolved the Assembly.
Yes. Right.
I would have acted differently. But for people to think that everything he did simply worsened his situation vis-a-vis the army, vis-a-vis the establishment, is saying that people do not have a right to protest. If Nawaz Sharif and Yusuf Raza Gilani had reacted to their disqualifications and what happened to them and the way their elected governments were ousted, if they had taken a stance and they joined their forces, and if they couldn't have supported Imran Khan because they were supporting the establishment to overthrow Imran Khan. So what I'm saying is that it's just so sad. Initially, younger Pakistanis, people who are in their teens, 20s, 30s, they used to think that it's okay. You know, all these politicians are corrupt. Imran Khan's stance against all these politicians, they are corrupt and they are crook, and Nawaz Sharif should be in jail and Benazir should be in jail, and Imran Khan is honest and he's upright.
What are they saying now?
And the army generals are upright and they are all on the same page. And even though they knew that it was wrong, they said, okay, you know, they're doing it for the right reason, so let's support them. For the first time in the history of Pakistan, and I say this as a Pakistani,
yes.
I'm not speaking as a Pakistani who supports Imran Khan. I wrote an article for Open India. I can send it to your people right now. I condemned what happened to Nawaz Sharif in 2017, what happened to Yusuf Raza Gilani in 2012.
So, Meher, what is the point you're making?
Now, in the last 5 years, for instance, people who are teenagers are now 18-year-old and above. For the first time in the history of Pakistan, people in their teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, almost every one of them is against what the military has done
right.
to Imran Khan. They don't think they have done this to Imran Khan because they cannot understand. I know you people are aware of what's happening in Pakistan. PTI is not allowed to carry out their rallies. Everything is. It's not that they are jailing Imran Khan or Shah Mahmood Qureshi. I mean, this is...
I get what you're saying, Meher. I just want to keep the strike rotating. That's familiar parlance in both sides of the border. But I'm going to come back to you if I can in a while from now. Ambassador Prabhu Dayal, in fact, before I go across to Ambassador Prabhu Dayal, I just wanted to go across to Ishan Ahmed Khan. Mr. Khan, is this now much easier for Nawaz Sharif Do you believe that with Imran out of the way, the military supporting Nawaz Sharif, your victory in the elections is inevitable?
बहुत शुक्रिया जी. मैं उर्दू में बात करूंगा.
जरूर बताइए, बोलिए. जी 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 जी.
मैं ये कहूंगा कि जो कुछ आप कह रहे हैं, जो कुछ आपके गेस्ट कह रहे हैं, मैं बड़ा बड़ा हैरान हूं कि वो ये बातें की जा रही हैं कि जी मिलिट्री एस्टेब्लिशमेंट और सारे इदारे नवाज शरीफ साहब को सपोर्ट कर रहे हैं. ऐसा नहीं है. इस वक्त आवाम सपोर्ट कर रही है क्योंकि आवाम पिस चुकी थी पिछले तीन साल साढ़े तीन साल में जो कुछ पाकिस्तान के साथ किया गया, जो कुछ जिस डगर पे पाकिस्तान को चलाने की कोशिश की, जिस तरीके से पाकिस्तान के इदारों को तबाह करने की कोशिश की गई, वो मैं ही कहता हूं जो आप बोते हैं वही काटते हैं. इमरान खान नियाजी ने वो कुछ किया पाकिस्तान के खिलाफ जो हिंदुस्तान 75 साल में नहीं कर सका. आप लोग बहुत कुछ करते रहे, बहुत कुछ कोशिश करते हैं मेरे पाकिस्तान के खिलाफ, लेकिन आप लोग कामयाब नहीं हो सकते. लेकिन आपका जो ये एजेंट था, इसके थ्रू जो कुछ आप करना चाहते थे, करवाना चाहते थे, जो कुछ वो करना चाहता था, हमने करने नहीं दिया क्योंकि हमारे इदारे
कौन एजेंट था. मैं आपका बात समझ नहीं पाया. कौन एजेंट था? ये पाकिस्तान का अंदरूनी मामला है. इंडिया का इसमें कोई हाथ नहीं है, कोई कुछ नहीं है. हमसे बाहर से देख रहे
था जो कि आपके एजेंडे पे काम कर रहा था.
कौन एजेंडे के पे काम कर रहा था?
मैं बता रहा हूँ ना, मैं बता रहा हूँ. आवाम ने उससे मोहब्बत की, मोहब्बत का वोट दिया, लेकिन उसने आवाम की उमंगों पे पूरा नहीं उतरा, आवाम की उम्मीदों से पूरा नहीं उतरा. जवान लड़के लड़कियां बच्चे बच्चियां उसके साथ मौजूद थे, नो डाउट के उसको वोट भी दिया, सपोर्ट भी किया लोगों ने, लेकिन उसने उसकी उम्मीदों पर पूरा नहीं उतरा. मेरी आवाम की, मेरे नौजवानों की, बड़ा पढ़ा लिखा तबका उसके साथ था, लेकिन उसने क्या किया? काश के वो लोगों के लिए काम करता, काश वो पाकिस्तान के लिए काम करता, काश वो मेरे इदारों को मजबूत करने के लिए काम करता, सिवाय गालियां देने के. इमरान खान ने तीन साढ़े तीन साल में कुछ नहीं किया. वो कभी कहता था मैं जेल में डाल दूंगा, कभी कहता था मैं मार दूंगा. लेकिन
इशाद खान साहब, आप एक चीज बताइए,
आज मेरे कायद नहीं है.
नवाज शरीफ साहब के खिलाफ जितने बहुत सारे केसेस थे, उन केसेस का क्या हुआ? क्योंकि इमरान खान के समर्थकों को कहना है कि जो भी केसेस है इमरान खान के खिलाफ है. नवाज शरीफ के खिलाफ जितने भी केसेस थे वो सब गायब हो गए.
एक चीज होती है कि नाजायज केस किए जाएं. मेरे कायद मियां मोहम्मद नवाज शरीफ साहब पे नाजायज केस किए गए, वो अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह थ्रू कोर्ट बरी हुए. मैं मियां कायद साहब के अपने मियां साहब के साथ हर रोज पेशी पे जाते थे. हम नैब कोर्ट में जाते थे, कभी हाई कोर्ट में जाते थे, कभी सुप्रीम कोर्ट में जाते थे. कोई एक दिन ऐसा नहीं होता था कि जब हम अदालत में ना हो. लाहौर से आते थे मेरे कायद इस्लामाबाद. दूसरी बात यह है कि हमने फिर भी अपने GHQ पे हमला नहीं किया, अपने शोधा की कब्रों की बेहरमती नहीं की, अपने आदमी की यूनिफॉर्म नहीं जलाई. इन लोगों को कुछ नहीं कहा गया, फिर भी इन्होंने मेरे इदारों के खिलाफ, मेरी फौज के खिलाफ, मेरे कौन सा इदारा है जो हुकूमती इदारा, मेरे मुल्क की सरहदों के खिलाफ.
ओके इरशाद अहमद खान, आई अप्रिशिएट योर पर्सपेक्टिव. द इलेक्शंस इन पाकिस्तान आर येट टू कम, जस्ट बेयर विद मी फॉर अ मोमेंट.
मैं ये समझता हूं कि सुन लीजिए
ईशान साहब, एक मिनट रुकिए सर.
इनको सजाए मौत होनी चाहिए थी.
जी जी जी, मैं समझ चुका हूँ आप जो कहना चाहते हैं. मैं अम्बेसडर प्रभु दयाल से एक सवाल पूछना चाहता हूँ. एक सेकंड सर. अम्बेसडर दयाल, फॉर अस इन इंडिया, हाउ डू यू सी द डेवलपमेंट्स इन पाकिस्तान?
आई सी द डेवलपमेंट्स इन पाकिस्तान इन द कॉन्टेक्स्ट ऑफ द डीप स्टेट ऑफ पाकिस्तान. It is the army which calls the shots. It is the army that wields real authority. Elected governments don't matter in Pakistan. So Imran Khan has paid the price of the blunder which he committed by taking on the army. Now, I may also mention what you yourself said, that Nawaz Sharif is now being tipped to be the next prime minister. But if we recall, before the 2018 election that Imran Khan had won, Nawaz Sharif had been jailed for corruption. And this was because he was a thorn in the side of the military. Now, as you said, those cases against Nawaz Sharif have melted away, and it seems that he is going to be the next prime minister. So what will happen is that nothing really will change. The army will continue to wield power. The army will continue to sponsor terrorism against India, and therefore I don't see any meaningful change taking place in our relations with Pakistan.
Meher, is that your concern? If we look at this from an India-Pakistan prism for just a small moment, that nothing fundamentally would change. What Mr. Haqqani was saying, that this is a cycle which keeps happening in Pakistan for 70 plus years. Is this just another part of that cycle?
Well, what he was saying was, I agree with most of the things Mr. Haqqani was saying, but to think that Imran Khan was not pro-peace with India is just not true. In his very first address to Pakistani nation on the 25th of July 2018, the day he won the election before he became the prime minister, he talked about India in great detail. He was the one who invited Indians to his oath-taking ceremony. He was the one he was the prime minister when your pilot was returned to India. There has never been a time. I've always been very amused when people say that Imran Khan follows what the establishment has told him to do. Imran Khan, I see a lot of flaws in him as a politician and as a prime minister. But there are certain things which are undeniable. Imran Khan is pro-peace and anti-war. So that kind of, negates the idea of him being a puppet of establishment at any given time. I believe that all prime ministers want peace with India. But whatever happens in Pakistan happens because of the establishment. They are the ones who decide who's to be jailed, who's to be brought into power, who's to be toppled. And the only thing I keep repeating is that all these parties, all these political leaders should have united for once to fight this thing. Maryam Nawaz Sharif, thinks she was saying in the last few years were very positive. She was very openly against the army and army's intervention in politics.
Right.
But all of a sudden, they changed that. Everything that has happened to them has happened to them because of the establishment. Imran Khan did not jail Nawaz Sharif. Nawaz Sharif was ousted in 2017. He was put in jail before the 2018 elections took place. It was not Imran Khan who jailed him. It was not Imran Khan who jailed Maryam Nawaz. What I'm saying is, what any Pakistani would say is, this was the best time to unite. We respect our armed forces. We respect the sacrifices they have made against terrorism within Pakistan. What I'm saying is, as far as military taking over prime minister, governments, overthrowing governments and coming into power is absolutely wrong. There are no ifs there. But he did that, she did that, okay. Imran Khan did that.
All right, the entire military point is hyped, is what you're suggesting. Abdul Samad, let me come to you. What are the legal options now? Because on the one hand, you've hit out at the court right now saying that there is a conspiracy and that this verdict and the way this entire case was conducted, the hearing was conducted, was unfair. And yet you are now moving in appeal. What guarantee do you have that that process will in fact be independent if this one wasn't?
Well, the special courts and the trial courts are kind of, they are more vulnerable. The special judges are more vulnerable to the real powers. So mostly or usually we can expect the same verdict which Judge Abul Hasanat has announced. So I told you that actually there are so many loopholes, so many flaws in a rushy manner they have carried it out and concluded it. It will be set aside. There is a legal aspect I'm in. Mm-hmm. But I would like to respond, or I would like to, the point which I picked from Mr. Hussain Haqqani's, which was very valid. He was asking about the resilience or the capability or a capacity of a PTI. Yes, he was right that from over seven decades, the history is going to be repeating itself again and again and again, as Mayor has also. But the fact of the matter is, the differences, this is the first time that the party, PTI, has shown its resilience with the consistent and constantly, from over 2 years, we have been facing atrocities being committed by these government, the goons in the government, the caretaker government. So this is the first time, we have we have shown the resilience. I mean, sure. we are still...
All right. So I take your point that the PTI, you believe, is still a resilient force. Ambassador Dayal, last question to you. Do you believe that this is the end of Imran as a political force? Or do you believe that there's going to be, as we've seen a million times in Pakistani politics, a return, and one at a time which none of us would have expected?
Well, you know, as regards Pakistani politics, nothing can be said for certain. Because who expected that Nawaz Sharif would be back and all the cases against him would melt away and he would now be the front runner to be the prime minister?
Yeah.
Everyone thought that he was, he would never come back. Now, we know that Imran Khan is going through a bad time. He's been jailed in several cases. This new sentence is for 10 years. But as I said earlier, it's a deep state. And if the army at some stage or the army chief at some later decides to overturn this sort of thing and bring him back, he will come back. There is no rule of law. It is the rule of the army. It is the deep state. Therefore, I say nothing can be said for sure what happens in that country.
Well, I'd like to thank you all very much for being with us. Fascinating conversation and yet another spin in Pakistan's politics and its polity. Imran Khan sentenced to jail for 10 years along with the former foreign minister of Pakistan. What happens next? Remember, elections coming up in a finite period of time, in just a couple of months from now. Where is Pakistan headed at a time when it faces so many economic uncertainties?